Hello, friends, and welcome to Hat Jam Extras, where for the weeks in between episodes, we take a deeper look into some of the creative experiences of our songwriting guests. I'm your host, Cav Templey, and this week, we're going to take you back to the musically romantic surroundings of Laurel Canyon and to the home and jam room of Mr. Ben Lee. This episode was recorded just weeks before the world shut down and everyone had to stay home and stay safe. Myself and Studio Cat hope you are all staying home and staying safe. But in the meantime, on with the show. This is Hat Jam. Hat Jam! Ben, can you talk us through your demoing process and how long it takes you to get from a few scribbles on a page to a complete song?
I don't like MIDI, and I don't tend to separate the recording of a song from the song. Like, while I understand that a song can take many different forms, it's almost like the sacredness of it should be that every form is possibly its ultimate form. So every time you lay it down, it, to me, if you like use MIDI and do like a demo, it's almost like it's like denying the possibility that you're making the definitive version. If there's a sound that's only on MIDI, yeah, that we're like, oh my God, I've got a great sound for this, yeah, but it should be the final sound. Like, I don't believe in demos, really, because it's sort of like, what's the point? Like, you're shooting yourself in the foot. If lightning strikes and you make something beautiful, if you've recorded it in a way that's sterile or temporary, you're kind of like, you've basically sucked the enthusiasm out of the future recording and you have nothing to show for it. So that's something that, like, I prefer to treat each thing as the thing. And in some ways, even songs like Catch My Disease, the demo we recorded of that song on a, I had a BlackBerry then, so it wasn't on the iPhone, but maybe it was like on a little tape recorder or something. In some ways, to me, that is the definitive version of that song. Like, we were backstage at the Glass House in Pomona and making up lyrics, and we just had the That's the Way I Like It thing. And so I would just be making up stupid lyrics, and the band, we were jamming along, everyone was laughing, and then we'd come in these harmonies. And in some ways, that was sort of the best version of that song ever heard. I was lucky in that the album version of it came a very close second, to the point that it contained enough energy. But I don't know. It's like what happens in the beginning of things is sort of like prescient and important.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I mean, so do you think that it's possible to carry an essence, which is what you're talking about, through the demoing process through to the final version? Because, I mean, you look at these, you know, massive albums like, you know, let's look at like Fleetwood Mac Rumours, you know, apparently they re-recorded over the tape so many times that, you know, it was like they had to kind of have someone when they were mixing it down just keeping the two tape machines in sync with each other because one tape had warped so much. And obviously they went through such a process to get to this record that we now go, wow, that is a classic record. And, you know, another band, you know, whether you love them or loathe them, is like U2, and they kind of have this approach where they'll just keep battering this thing until it's like into place. And we did a one of these Hat Jams with Sarah McLeod, and I think the way she explained it is just like, keep replacing the shit bits with good bits. So but I love, one of my favorite records is PJ Harvey's four track demos, and some of those songs were re-recorded and I'm like, yeah, I kind of like it, but I don't really like it as much as a four track demo because there's an essence to it, you know.
I have this duo, Radner and Lee, and me and Josh, my partner, we sort of we have a philosophical difference of opinion about this that we've come to realize is what we're working through, which is that I don't think it's about how many times you do it. It's about why you're doing it another time. And I don't want input from anybody. I want input from my collaborators. But if the reason you're doing more versions is because someone's saying, do a better one or do a slicker one, or you should change this or change that, you've corrupted it. Whereas if you have such a feeling of this could be better.
You recently recorded an album of covers called Quarter Century Classics. How do you feel looking back and looking into these amazing songs that other people have written and having to learn them and sing them and find your own truth in each of these songs? How do you find that that has informed you or helped your songwriting technique?
Well, most of it, I think, was unconscious at the beginning. So those covers you're talking about were all bands and songs I fell in love with 14, 15, 16 years old. And at that time, it's more like you just go, ooh, I like how this makes me feel. Mm. But the craft of it, you're probably not as conscious of. And it's interesting, like things like Sonic Youth, what that band meant to me and sonically what they meant to me aesthetically. I realized that a lot of older people than me had that experience with the Grateful Dead because it was an opening into a more psychedelic understanding of a non-linear understanding of music.
Opening a new door that you're like, ooh, what's
and sort of abstraction, the door of abstraction and danger and a little seediness, but also kind of like community and movement beyond the individual.
And it's funny how you mentioned 16 was when these kinds of songs appear to, because that's really where as humans we start to explore abstract thought for the first time, and and in songwriting that's such an important kind of road to go down, because you're not being so literal about stuff, you're going into this other place where, you know, you look at Sonic Youth and what they did with the guitars and all the rest of it. I mean, you know, that was as important to me about the songwriting of Sonic Youth than the lyrics and the melody. You mentioned song craft before. Let's talk about the structure. We both did a record with Ed Buller.
Yeah.
You did your Breathing Tornadoes record with Ed, and we did our first album, Girl, with Ed Buller. And Ed Buller was a key, he was a keyboard player in Psychedelic Furs, but he went on to become quite an amazing pop producer. And he was very, I think a lot of the lessons I learnt in my early songwriting career were from Ed. And some, and you know, we sat down to create a record that, you know, he would get paid money for, i.e. that needed to end up on the radio.
Yeah.
And so he did some of the little things he would do with us was he would time the songs, and if we hadn't gone to the chorus on the minute mark, he'd be like, okay, you need to go to the chorus. And then the other thing he would do classically as we're jamming and being like, you know, kids, he'd be like, bored, you're boring me, I'm bored now. And the other term which we ran with is woeful. He would, that sounds woeful. But what we learned from Ed Buller is that our job as songwriters is to keep the listener's attention. The moment they turn the dial on the radio or skip the song or go to another playlist, you've lost them. He taught us how to be objective with our own songs. If you're listening to the song and your attention starts to wander, then something different needs to happen in the song at that point. And it was a very valuable lesson. So thank you, Ed. And thank you very much, Ben Lee, for having you into your jam room in the beautiful Laurel Canyon. Yeah. This has been Hat Jam, ladies and gentlemen.
Hat Jam! Woo! Hat Jam!
If you enjoy Hat Jam, then head over to our Patreon site and look for Hat Jam.
If you're interested in hearing more about any of the artists on Hat Jam, then please head to our Facebook page, Instagram, or website and follow the links.
You can find Cav Temperley on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Cav Temperley, or www.cavtemperley.com.au, or follow us directly on @hatjam_podcast. This has been a Temperley production.